Are y'all listening to this? Is he getting it? Woo! I've never heard you play like that.
That was beautiful.
Wow. Glory to God. Did Gabriel come by and sit by you?
I think so.
Glory to God. My, my, my. That's what it's all about. When you can give glory to God like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings as your children to come before you this morning. Come in the name that's above every name, the name that you've given your son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you've given us your children the authority, the very right to use your name to open the gates of heaven and ask Father to let it rain, to allow his spirit to rain down upon us. And Lord, as Miss Vicky was playing, I can just sense your presence. And Lord, the serenity of your presence is beyond description. And this morning, Lord Jesus, because of you, we are a blessed people. And Lord, there's nothing greater than being in the presence of the Lord. And Father, we can only imagine how much better, how much greater it's going to be when we're in your eternal presence. That day when the Holy Spirit escorts us into your presence. Oh, Father, what a great day of rejoicing is going to be. And Lord Jesus, when you roll back the heavens like a scroll, when you roll back that sky up there and fold it up and put it away like a garment, Lord, when every eye shall see you and every knee shall bow to you on that day, when we see you in the fullness of your glory, the radiance of your presence just destroys your enemies. And Lord, on that day, when Father, the Lord God Almighty, allows us to look upon your face and not die, what a day of rejoicing is going to be for all of the saints of God. And Father, the world hasn't seen anything yet. No one has seen the likeness of God. No one. And Lord Jesus, you said that only you have seen the fullness of God's glory. And you will be the one who reveals God's glory to us. And so, Lord, we're eager and we're waiting. As the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts to receive you, prepare our spirits to be with you, and prepare us for that great day of the Lord. For your children, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. But for the rest of the world, what a day of sadness and sorrow. What a day of shame. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying for us and shedding your precious innocent blood and washed away our sins. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here and every family that's represented here, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for those who are yet to come. And we know, Lord, that you have others, other sheep who are not of this fold, but yet you're going after them and you're going to bring them in. So there's only one shepherd, that's you, the good shepherd. And it will only be one fold, your fold, the church, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, as we sit here, humbly waiting for your word, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts and mind, that you, one-on-one with our spirit, give us the word of God so that our spirit, in strict obedience, will glorify God, and who in turn will glorify you, Lord Jesus, our Lord, whom we love. Thank you, Lord, now, for being with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. We're at the point now in human history and the history of creation where everything is getting ready to come to a screeching halt. Things as you know it will not exist anymore. And you know what? One of the most amazing things is about to happen, folks. I'll tell you, we did not actually finish the chapters in Ezekiel, but I'm not going there today, as the Spirit is leading me to continue on in Revelation itself, and a couple other books that we'll be looking at briefly this morning. I want to tell you something, that where we are now in Scripture, all hell has broken loose on earth. Are you hearing me? The great battle has ensued. And the saints of God are engaging in battle against the forces of darkness. There's a battle going on to destroy Israel and to destroy the saints. And now that that battle is over, the battle has just finished, and the victory is who?
Ours.
Jesus. Jesus, the victor, is reigning supreme in creation, and every eye is now looking at Jesus. Every spirit, every created thing is now looking at Jesus. And something is about to happen with Hades, and something is about to happen with death. But before our Lord Jesus does anything with them, Satan and the false prophets and the beasts and all is about to be sentenced. This is the next phase in which we're at with the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle for mankind, the battle for creation, is now over. Those whom Satan have deceived into following him have now been destroyed physically. Millions upon millions of human bodies, they are laying all over the place. And the scripture tells you and I, it's taken 7 years to clean up the dead bodies. 7 years to gather the weapons of war and to burn them. Can you imagine now in the valleys where the war has started and gone on down into Israel, that the blood has now reached the horse's bridle? That's a lot of dead bodies. That means a lot of people were bleeding. And folks, the battle was taking place with humans and with demons. Humans are fighting alongside demons. Are you getting this? And everything that the Lord God had told us from Genesis to Revelation has now come to a head. Everything, all prophecies have now been fulfilled. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is reigning supreme as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's now faithful and true. He's the Word of God who's sitting on a white horse, and he is victorious. And what he's about to do, he's about to give the fatal blow, the final blow to Satan and all of his followers. This time, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who they call weak, who they call timid, who they call nobody, who they hung on the cross, is now about to drag all of his enemies through the streets of heaven. Y'all didn't get that. It is about to be something. Because we're at this juncture, time as we know it has stopped. And God is no longer hiding himself from us. In other words, shielding us so that his glory doesn't kill us. Now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that you all used to call Mary's little baby, is now reigning king. And not only that, he's the commander of the armies of heaven. And without lifting a finger, he has vanquished his enemies. And Zor, the next scene you see is now Satan being dragged through the streets of heaven. Yes! Satan now destroyed by Jesus himself. It is now judgment time, where the greatest evil of all will now stand trial. And newsflash, just in case you didn't get it, Lord Jesus said before he went to the cross, he said, now the ruler of this earth has been judged. So God judged them long time ago. He's now getting ready to be sentenced. Do y'all understand what's happening right now at this point in time in Scripture? But before we get there, we need to back up just for a moment and watch what God does. Okay? So to give us a glimpse into a little bit of how this is going to take place, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25 first. We're going to come back to Revelation. But that was just the opening so that we can get there. So turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And we're going to get just a little glimpse into what God is about to do. Folks, if people won't worship Jesus now, if they refuse to worship Jesus now, they will on that day. If they refuse to acknowledge the Son of God now, and they are, even our government said, you can't even mention his names in school. They now want to cast chaplains out of the military, saying they don't need chaplains. Then now, if you want to be a chaplain in the military, you don't have to be saved. It used to be you couldn't be an army chaplain, a military chaplain, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It used to be that way. Even the most hard-nosed general of his day called on God. He called his chaplain to pray. George S. Patton, known as Old Blood and Guts. He knew that a man can't live without God. The very first president of these United States, George Washington, knew that. Standing on the Delaware River, what do you think old George did?
Pray.
He prayed. He knew that a nation without God would do what? Fall. It cannot survive. So these founding fathers, these early officers in the military, they understood the need for Jesus. No matter how bad they may seem to people, these men knew that without God, their jobs would be impossible. They knew that. Okay? Even the key figures of Congress knew this. When they wrote the Declaration of what? Independence. They knew this and said we had inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. They knew that. But all of a sudden now, we're in a time which people are saying, you don't need all of that. I have folks tell me face to face, one mustn't believe in everything in the Bible. I said, are you kidding me?
I saw someone that said, our nation needs the Constitution, not God.
Mm-hmm.
Going on Facebook.
I'm not advocating anybody here. But I did hear one of the guys running on the GOP side says his number one book and his favorite book is the Bible. Yes. And he said it with boldness. And this one surprised me. Because he's a very proud man. But he said my number one book of all times and my favorite is the Bible. And so you see now, it's at the point where the nations is about to give accountability for what they've done to Lord Jesus. You can go on and be as hard-nosed as you want to, but there's a day coming when you will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's at the point right now one can almost ascertain that mercy is no more. Grace is no more. Grace has ceased. Mercy has ceased. It is now the time of judgment. In other words, God is going to get you for that. And it's time. It's time to pay. Let's take a look. Very, very short phrase in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Take a look. The supremacy of Jesus Christ. You got to get that. Jesus Christ is supreme. Amen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then, what it says? Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Folks, I wonder what the Jews thought of that day when they read this. I wonder what they were thinking when Jesus Christ spoke those very words. Matthew recorded them. I wonder what they thought, what was going through their minds when he just told them, not only was he the king of Israel, he was a king of all the nations, the king of all creation, sitting on his throne. I wonder what the leaders thought at that time, even his followers. What ran through Peter's mind going, what? Or John? What did they go home and talk about that day? Did you hear what he said up there? Did you hear that? They were in Jerusalem, sitting around the Temple Mount. And they went over to the Mount of Olives, and he's sitting down and he's telling them these things. They go, wait a minute. Do you not know the emperor? Caesar is the emperor here? Do you not know Herod is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem? Or wherever he come from, Tiberias? And you're sitting here making this bold statement? Only if they really knew who he was. They've been following in his feet. Say, yes, Master, we believe you. But watch what he tells them. This is a stern warning, not only to the people of his day. This was a stern warning for people who were to be born after that time. You can't do nothing for the dead. But what's coming, what lies ahead, folks, do y'all realize now, from the time of Jesus' death to our time now, there's been more people born on earth than it was before that, going all the way back to Adam. Are you aware of that? And so this message that he has now, we got more people on the earth than we ever had before in human history at one time. Think about that. And so he's preparing generations ahead of him to get right, because the true king is coming back and he's going to sit up on his throne and he's about to do something. In the next verse, Mike, you're about to see, but the one that you have made a vow to, that you would worship, that you would obey and love. Here, he's about to tell you what he's going to do with you. He's about to tell me. He's about to tell you. He's about to, you played for him face to face this morning. And he's about to tell you something. Okay? And watch what he's saying to us. All the nations will be gathered before him. Did you get that? All the nations. This is a glimpse of judgment day. And who's doing the calling of the nation? Jesus, the Son of God. The one that we said, I don't want nothing to do with him. Don't bring that up in here. Oh, you can have your religion, you can have, but don't mention Jesus in here. You can't mention that name here. I love the show Touched by an Angel, but my heart breaks because never once did they mention the name of Jesus. They'll say God, but anybody in those names could be a deity. Oh, I'm an angel sent by God. Well, which God? Because the word angel means messenger. So you're a messenger from hell? Because true angels don't deny Jesus. What did Gabriel tell Mary? He said, I'm sent by God. And the one you carry is going to be the Holy Ghost, and his name shall be?
Jesus.
So did he deny Jesus? You bet he didn't. He let it be known. So the true angels from God do what? They are not afraid to mention Jesus, because they know who their master is. And when they report back to him every day, guess who they go? They go and bow down before him. When Gabriel went back home, he knew who he was bowing before. Hello. And many, many others, millions and millions and millions of angels who have been here, they've gone back and bowed before who? Jesus. How come you think those demons who, every one of them, especially in the book of Mark, I love the way Mark records it. Do you know the theme of the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus is king? Did you know that? That's the principal theme of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is king. And now the king is saying, sitting on the throne. Jesus, sitting on the throne. You better be getting this. I don't care if you're 16, 19, or 20, or 17. You better be getting this. You better be getting this in your heart, that Jesus Christ is king, and he ain't monkeying around. You understand me? This is the word from God. This is the word of God. The Holy Ghost had Matthew to write this so that you can hear it. And every other human that come in contact with the word of God, by God, he wants us to hear this. And not only does he want us to hear it, he wants us to believe in it and place our trust in this king long before he becomes our adversary, because that's not what God wants for you and me. God wants you and I to be the sons and daughters of this king, not his enemy. Because if you're his enemy, he's going to destroy you. So you can say what do you want to. You can live in a political correct world and you'll suffer the wrath of the Lamb, who's now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You choose this day who you're going to serve. You going to serve political correctness, or you going to serve Jesus, the King of Glory? You choose. That's what it's all about. And I'm sitting there going, God, oh, my mind last night, I was getting flashes of being there. How many of you were aware last night there was a lightning storm sitting over Hot Springs and Alachua last night in Fort White?
Yeah.
Yeah. Each time it was, I mean, every second, it was lightning, hundreds of flashes every second. I was sitting here, we were sitting here, and old Speedy Gonzalez took off on his motorcycle. Lord forgive me, yeah, I watched him. But anyway. So I'm sitting here. And I watched the light. First, I thought the light on the street was going bad because you know how they flicker street lights do before they go out. So I'm thinking, oh boy, that's pretty crazy. But then it got brighter and brighter and brighter and become more rapid. And when I went outside, got in the van, I turned driving home and I looked around and it was coming. It was bouncing all around. I mean, I saw the brilliant radiance of the lightning bolts. And all of a sudden, I was where Israel was when God came down on the mountain. I can sense what it was like that day when the children of Israel saw that. And each time it lightened, I could see the canopy of clouds. It was like a perfect umbrella over this place. And underneath it, the lightning was just streaming down. And I'm going, boy, it must have been something on that mountain. And boy, you think right now somebody's hiding in the corner because they're afraid of the lightning. Don't be afraid of the lightning. Be afraid of the one who owns the lightning. The one who the lightning submits to.
My dog was acting like that.
Okay? The Word of God tells you back in Revelation chapter 4 that there's lightning around the throne of God. Woo! Talk about powerful. Huh? The same Jesus sits on that throne. Huh? Are you getting this? And so, he has the nations. Says all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's break this word nation down to its smallest element. Are you ready for this? Don't worry about the geographical location about nation. Break it on down to its smallest region. And then break it on down even further to its smallest tribe. And then break it down further than that to its smallest clan. And then break it on down further than that to its smallest family. Till after a while he gets down to you. Did you get that? That's what he's talking about. So now everybody is doing what? Standing before him. Not as the United States, not as Great Britain, not as Pakistan, not as Saudi Arabia, but the individual person. Both believers and unbelievers. That's why he said now it's going to be a separation. A division is about to take place. Why? Because now he's calling the true ones out. This one, this one, this one. Holy Ghost is going to say, mm-hmm, that one, yeah, that one, that one. No, that one, yes, that one. Amen. Woo! Are you getting it? Did you just sense that? You mean, but Lord, they sit in the same church service. I did heard the same word. He said, I know, but I never knew them. But Lord, they sat at the same table as us and we broke bread with you. He said, I know, but I don't know them. But Lord, they done this and this in your name. He said, I know, but I don't know them. Because they never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They had a form of godliness, but God was far from their hearts. Because the true saint, when you sin against God, you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Is God still in love with me? Because you want to know. Because you offended your father. And you ask Jesus, Lord, is everything okay with us? That's a true love relationship. That's the trueness of one with Christ. And they said, daughter, everything's okay. No, I didn't approve of that. And yeah, there are some consequences to that. But you're still my daughter. Well, yes, you're still my son. Okay? That's the true love of God. And those are the nations that he's looking for right here. The ones, even though you have sinned and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, he look at you and he goes, look and see how timid she can be. And he said, yes, you're still my daughter. You still is mine, even though your stomach is growling, you still is mine. Okay? Heard it all the way up here. No, I didn't. I just sensed it. Glory to God, you lie. It's been recorded. They're going to hear it on the podcast now. Anyway, to God be the glory. Amen? Are you getting this? Are you all getting this? Do you're few in number this morning. That means God has done something wonderful with you this morning. You get to sit firsthand this morning and hear this from the Holy Spirit, face to face in the spirit world. You are an audience in heaven before God as the Word of God is being pumped out to you by the Holy Spirit of the living God. You're blessed people. You are privileged people this morning by the Lord Jesus Christ to hear this gospel about him. This is a blessing. If you don't believe me, look around you. Where are the rest? Where are they? I hope they're somewhere here in the gospel. And I hope it's about Jesus. Because if it's not, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to tickle your ears and make your britches feel good, okay? I'm not here to tickle your britches. I'm here to tell you the gospel truth. Because this is a day of reckoning. This is a day of accountability. Jesus has now gathered the nations. And he said, now that you're all here, okay? Now it's time for me to go and separate the wheat from the chaff or the what? Tares, the wheat and the tares. You remember that parable? It's now time for the angels to go out the nation, throughout the nation, gather before Jesus. All right, Jesus is sitting on the throne. Because remember in the parable, he says, when they wanted to pull them all up, they said, you know, who done this? He said, yeah, a wicked man, a wicked person have done it, the evil one. Well, shall we pull them up? He said, no, unless you pull up the wheat with them. He said, but just wait at harvest time. But this is harvest time, folks. This is the gathering of the harvest. Now he said, and the angels will separate them. Remember the parable? Lord Jesus said the angels will separate them. Do y'all remember that now? Whoo, glory to God. Yes. Whoo. The angels will now do this. So the angels now are going throughout the crowd, Mike, faster than the speed of light, and they've now made a separation. Are you hearing me? Just that fast, you've been separated. You're looking around and you want to find out what side you're on, and you're smiling. Some are going to look like sheep, and the others are going to look like goats. And the goats are going, ah, yeah, look at you. And the sheep ain't going to say anything because you're docile and you're humble. And you're meek, right? You're waiting on further instructions. The goat over there, look at them. If I look at us, we're the big boast one, right? Because that's what goats do. They brag and they're pushy, right? But sheep are what? Humble. And waiting for the shepherd to give further instructions. Amen? Watch what happens. Now, so he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So there's a place of eminence, folks. Are you hearing me? You know what the word eminence means? Honor. He put the goats on the left hand. The right hand has always, to God, been a place of honor. Who has a place of honor with God?
Jesus.
Paul tells us over and over again, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The highest place of honor. Woo-hoo! Glory! You remember when the mother of James and John went to Jesus and she said to them, Lord, I want you to do something for me. So what's that? That my sons may sit on your right hand and on your left. Boy, she said, you know, she pushed her sons up to go do it, even though she herself didn't say it, because, you know, women didn't just go up and talk to men in that culture. But she pushed her sons up to go do it. And so she said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I have and be baptized in the baptism? They're going, oh, yeah, we can. Boy, kind of bragging, right? And stuck their nose up in the air. Yeah, we can. But you know what? She said, but you're missing the point of excellence here. It is not for me to give to you, but it's prepared by my Father for those whom it will be given to. I mean, God have decided who will get the place of honor. Are you hearing this? But those men, they had already been given a place of honor by Lord Jesus. He said, you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But I guess they wanted more. Just like greedy humans. But that's all right. We can say that. You know, look how bad we've been. So we're looking at this, Miss Vicky. This is kind of the prelude. But we need to back this thing up. We need to halt right here just for a second. And we need to back up about 600 years. Are you ready for that? We need to back up to around 605 and coming on down to about 537. Somewhere in that time period, something amazing happens in a place called Babylon. And there is an old prophet by the name of Daniel. You ever heard of him? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, baby. I'm a girl. And so, let's turn there for a second. And don't lose Matthew 25, because the Lord God is doing something so wonderful. If you look at the time, it's 11:24 already. But I want you to go to chapter 7 and start at verse 9. I want you to know what God is doing here. This old man, he's sitting there, or laying there, whatever way it's taking place.
Daniel what?
Daniel chapter 7, starting at verse 9. And God is about to do something with him. God is about to show this man something. Something that both John and Matthew is very much aware of from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, he's all right. And so here we have it. Daniel is saying, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. What just happened? What just happened? Anybody know?
God took his spot.
God did what?
Sat down on his throne.
God just sat down on his throne. Did you get it? His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. His wheels a burning fire. This means God just showed up, Mike, and his chariot.
Glory.
His chariot of fire, his glory. God has just showed up huge, folks. Do you understand who just showed up? And he's showing up huge as the sovereign God of all creation. The creator God has now showed up. And guess what it's about to tell you and I what this moment is. Are you ready for this? A fiery screen issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That means countless numbers, right? Next verse. Look at this. The court was seated. What is now taking place?
Trials happening.
Judgment. And the books were open. People, it is now judgment day. Are you hearing me? There's no more second chances. No more third, fourth, and a million chance to get right with Jesus.
Time's up.
Time's up. The final verdict has now been given. You're either with God or you're against God. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no other things that you can do. The cross sealed this day. Are you hearing me? The cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, sealed this day. He made a way for people to escape this day by becoming God's children, or he made a way for them to become God's prisoners. There is no in between. You're either a child of God bought by the blood of Jesus, or you're now the enemy of God who's now in spiritual chains. You're now a prisoner of God and you're about to be sentenced. That's the only way it can go now. There's no other way. And you can laugh and have mocked God, and you can laugh and have mocked preachers, and you can laugh to have mocked all the children of God. But when you laugh at God's son, God is not laughing. The men have shook their fist at God, and Christ has forgiven them. But when you jump on God's baby, when you jump on the Lord Jesus Christ and you talk bad about the Holy Spirit, God is going to get you for that. And when you deny him, you deny God. I'm just being frank with you. Look what's happening here. I watched then, verse 11, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, and I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. That's the lake of fire, folks. As for the rest of the beast, they're talking about the governments, the leaders, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a half. Verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like who? Say it out. One like the son of who?
Man.
Who's that?
Jesus.
Jesus just showed up. He'd been there all along. Inside God. And now he has manifested himself as the son. I don't understand how it all works. Coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days. He went to his Father. God is called the Ancient of Days because time began and ends with God. In other words, God has no beginning and God has no end. That's why he's called the Ancient of Days. And Jesus does what? Go right to his Father. And if you don't think the father haven't been watching how they were treating his baby when he was here, you got another thought coming. And if you don't think the father haven't been listening and watching since he brought his baby back home, that how you have spoken out against him and have denied his presence, you don't think father have not recorded that? You got another thought coming, Mr. and Mrs. World. Whatever religion you are, you've denied Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have denied God himself. And God is going to get you for that. So now the angels, they are doing something so marvelous. And we believe this possibly could have been, Tamara, the day that he ascended back into heaven. Because listen, watch the escort. Watch the escort Jesus get. Watch this. So he says, and one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. The angels escorted him with high honors down the halls of glory and to the very throne room of God. And I can just see Jesus kneeling before God, his Father, as the Father motions him to get up, and he embraces him. And the moment he embraces him, they absorb into each other and become one. I could just sense that. I'm not sure that that's how this happened. I'm just mean. Okay? But I do know that scripture tell you and I that these angels, these great majestic beings, escorted the King of Glory to the throne of God. And watch what happens. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a what? A kingdom. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Boy, that. Can you see now what Matthew wrote when Jesus is now sitting on the throne and the nations are brought before him? Can you see what Daniel was looking at now? As the nations are now submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ, they are now under the sovereign authority of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because the Ancient of Days ordained this long, 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 long ago. And Daniel was privileged. Daniel was blessed by God to take a look at it. And Matthew was blessed to record it. Folks, y'all can tell your friends they better stop downgrading Jesus. You better write it on Facebook and tell your buddies, Jesus Christ is not only is he Lord, he's the King of Glory. He's the King of Kings who's going to sit up on his throne and he's going to judge the nations. And you, Mr. and Mrs. Reader of this, is one of the nations because it goes down to its smallest element, you. That's the way it's written. So no one escapes it. No one's or. Not even a little timid 17-year-old girl like you will escape it. You will be in that number. Not even you, Vernon, will miss out on it. You will be there. Including Carlton back there smiling. You will be there. And so will this preacher. I will be there. And so will your neighbor, so will your grandfather, and so will their fathers and their father's fathers, all the way back to Adam. No human is excused. Watch this. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Say what you want to. Believe what you want to. But this gospel is not going to change because of your beliefs. Hear me? This gospel that was given to Daniel by vision of God himself is not going to change. Go back to Matthew 25. What Matthew is writing by order of Jesus himself, folks, it is not going to change. Look at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he gives us why here. Okay, why was the kingdom prepared for them? Because what he's about to tell them now, he's got to show them what he called obedience. Folks, love and obedience are synonymous. You cannot separate them. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, obedience and love cannot be separated. Period. No matter what Washington says, no matter what your best friend says, no matter what parents say, obedient to Christ cannot be separated from your love for him. Are you hearing me? Because this is a illustration of obedience, folks. Listen. His blood saved you, but obedience he does not cast aside. Listen. For I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, and I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. You got that? That's obedience. Can you understand that? That's obedience and love coupled together. You can't separate them. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. People. This lovely lady sitting here with this beautiful red dress on, make it her point to go to a homeless lady and sit down and eat with her. Even taking her to her house and washed her clothes and let her take a bath. That's obedience. That's obedience. When the last time you went and visit somebody that was in the hospital? When you go and visit somebody that's in jail? When did you see a child your age, another teenager just don't have much, and you say, you know what, come to my house tomorrow or this evening? And you go in your closet and say, you know what, I just got these for school. But I'm going to give half of them to you. People thought I was crazy one day. A new family come to church. We never met them before. Got to talking to the brother. The Spirit said he was a brother in Christ. In need of a car, just for a short while. I said, okay, come go home with me. We got a van and we got my car. Take my car. Use it as long as you can. You need to. My wife said, you going to do what? I said, yeah, you get my car. I said, they have no place to even store their stuff. I said, put it in my garage. People going, you what? We don't even know this person. What if you don't bring your car back? So what? It's just a material thing. God will give me another one. My son and I, we talked the other day. I said, Michael, you remember when we lived in South Carolina? He said, yes, Dad. I said, let me tell you what your father used to do. I said, I knew a lady that was a Christian. Her family had disowned her, and she was struggling. I said, one day I saw this lady walking in the hot sun. I stopped and picked her up, took her and got her some food. And I said, you know what I did, Michael? I said, what's that? I said, I had a crispy $100 bill in my wallet. You know what I did? He said, what'd you do, Dad? I said, I gave it to her. I said, not once have I done it, people, more than once. So you watch me come home in a tarantula downpour, go upstairs and pull out my army raincoat, the one I loved the most because I had it for so long. It was still in good shape. Go downstairs, take my nice thermos, fill it full of hot chocolate, make sandwiches and stuff. He said, Dad, where you going? I said, I'll be back. I'll tell you when I get back. Find a homeless man walking in the rain. Say, brother, come here. Gave him the thermos full of hot chocolate, gave him the coat, and hey, here's some money. Went back home. Said, Dad, what'd you do? I said, did this. I said, I really don't like to tell you because I don't want to appear to be bragging. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, we're to do those things. Remember you talking about earlier this morning about what Macedonia did to the refugees of Syria? The one who was one of the first recipients of this gospel by the Apostle Paul turned their backs on people that were in need. But God, Jesus, he will judge them for that. And he will judge you and he will judge me if we turn our hearts against those who are in need. And every one of you just about have been in here. I set him up the other day. Deke back there. Set him up. What did you do, Deke? Lady come in with an arm full of babies, did she not? And you watched your little baby, did you not? And what did you do?
Fed the hungry.
You fed the hungry. Prepared them food. Folks, I'm not bragging. I'm here telling you that obedience, Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, requires obedience. Okay? I'm not here to preach and make you feel good. I'm here to tell you so that you will live according to God's word. And I don't care if you ever come back, as long as you love Jesus. Okay? Of course I care. I want you to please listen to me careful. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, those are the goats, right?
Yep.
The ones who full of pride and stick their nose up in the air and headbutt people to have their way, right? The bullies. Listen to what he says to them. Because they're full of foolish pride and all and refuse to humble themselves like sheep to come to Lord Jesus so he can take care of them. All right? Watch what happens to folks like that. Then it will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed. Well, wait a minute. How's that possible, Lord Jesus? Because way back in Moses, back in Deuteronomy, it says, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus hung on a tree. He became the curse so that you and I don't have to. But he just called them cursed. Why? Because they denied him. You become a goat when you deny Jesus. And when you deny Jesus, you become a cursed thing. Ma'am?
Even if you feel like you're a good person.
Even if you feel like you're a good person, by the world standard, you may be a good person. But to Jesus, you are a cursed thing. Remember what happened with Achan? When they had stolen the cursed item? He got stoned to death, him and his family, and got burned with fire because a Christian was killing Israel because God told him not to take him. When God gives an order, and that order was to read in Psalms 2, he said, kiss the son unless he hates you. Okay? If you don't love Jesus, love compels us to do what he tells us to do. If you don't do that, people, then you will be a goat. Okay? And goats are cursed by Jesus himself. Let me move on for time's sake. So then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, which we call demons. Put them in the same classification. Wow. And you don't think Jesus is supreme? You don't think he's the sovereign God? Who got control now? Who's wagging whose head at who now? Remember they wagged their head at him and they mocked him when he was up on the cross? Mm-hmm. Who now have the upper hand?
Jesus.
He had it then, he just didn't let them know it. Okay? Revelation chapter 20, we'll finish out with that. Because that's where we are now. Let's finish up. Verse 10, remember Jesus said you're cast into what? To everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Well, that is the lead into where we are now. Verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. Remember Daniel had already told us that the beast were cast into what? Yeah. So Daniel had already saw that. And now Jesus is telling us, you know, the devil, the lake of fire was prepared for who? For the devil. And his demons, his followers, his angels. Okay? Now he's saying it's prepared for those who are cursed also. Those who are goats. Those who refuse to kneel down to his lordship and surrender to him. That's where they are. The ones who've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But they could have been because he put it all out there for everybody to be washed in it. Okay? So that's where we are right now. So this is a moment in which no human can say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Or we're at the moment now where humans, you may say it, I can't believe he's doing this, but it's not going to change his mind. Oh, why are you doing this to me? Too late to say that now. Well, I don't deserve this, all I did for you. Really? Because the greatest thing you can do for Jesus is submit to him. That's it. Because what do you have that he don't already own? Even the very substance of your body he created. So what can you give him? All he asks for you to do is surrender to him. Surrender your life to him. Very simple. That's all God said. Surrender, love my son. That's it. But people say, no. And he told you, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But no, we want to write laws and things that, no, your commandments are antiquated. They're outdated. You know, they're no good for civilization. We got a better way, God. Your way is wrong and our way is right. Okay? Now, here's the time now. All that's going to come up. And your way is what? Okay? Let your way now stop you from going to the lake of fire. Better yet, go back to what Isaiah said. Now when God told him, said, okay, you think you're somebody? All right, let's have a trial. You put me on trial. Bring the evidence to try me, said the Lord. Does you remember reading that in Isaiah? Oh, Isaiah, God mocked him. You think you're somebody? Then come, put me on trial now and hold me accountable. Go get them if you can stand before me now and plead your cause. That's what God said. Plead your case right now. To go, come on. Go get them out there. They're so bad. Go get them. Tell them, come on, plead the case. How are they going to stand against the one who's holy? Come on. The Bible tells you and I through Daniel, God is sitting there watching. You go ahead. While Jesus takes a seat on the throne. While the angels are standing by the very ones that you're very scared of. Want to take a swing at Jesus? Where's the spirit world going on right now? They've just been doomed. Because when God cast their master into the lake of fire, he did them too. The angels grab a hold of their butts and he ransacked them. Are you hearing me? All of a sudden, just like that, people, there are no more evil spirits anywhere other than the lake of fire. Yes. All gone, eradicated by Jesus. The very demons that pushed man up to turn his nose up at God are now paying a price for it. God saved the best for last, Satan. Huh? Almost. Let's look at the rest of the story. Then we'll go home. Long day? Long morning? Yeah, you bet you. How would you like to go to a sermon that Paul preached? You got 6 more hours? So here we are. Here we are. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before who? God. Now, Matthew gave us a picture that they were standing before Jesus. So they're standing before God. And they're standing before Jesus. That means God and Jesus must be
the same.
Woo, glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Woo! Oh, glory! Man, you just missed it! Oh, look at Muskehead standing up. You see the pickles. My Lord. And the books were open. Did Daniel not say that? And the books were open? Now that was about 600 years before Christ came into the world as a baby. God gave him that revelation. Now, this is after Christ is back in heaven. And John is seeing this. It said, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. And John, why keep saying John? Matthew gives us a little glimpse of those works. When I was naked, you clothed me, which meaning that you were out doing something for Jesus. You were making Jesus known. The covering, clothes cover people. What covers people the most? The Word of God. When I was hungry, you did what? Amen. What fills people? The Word of God. It's all symbolic, folks. And when I was sick, you came and visited me. What does that mean? That means God, through you, came and healed them. Woo! And in prison, that means he said, and you came to me? That means that by the Spirit, you came and liberated them. Set them free from the bondage of Satan. Are you getting that? Yes! By the name of Jesus. Set free. Okay? So you're doing more than a physical manifestation. You're doing something in the spirit world with them. But all we can see is, oh, I ain't going to give him my shirt. No. You're not getting this. Because you go back in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, you're covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having your lines covered with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, that's covering. And the helmet of salvation, that's covering from head to what? To toe. Woo! Are you getting this?
Amen.
It is awesome what God does, isn't it? And so, not only are you, in a physical sense, you're giving them what they need, but spiritually, the Word of God. I know, Mike, you ready to go home and get some of that gravy and biscuits. And so here we go, folks. So they were judged, okay, according to things which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who was in them. The final blow to God's adversaries. Surrendered them useless. Stripped them completely of their powers. Because people are still entering into the spirit of the dead. Hades are still grabbing people. But yet they can't hold them because Jesus now have the keys to Hades. Are you hearing this? And so, closing on out. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Why does this word works keep popping up there, big brother? Folks, it's tell you and I, it is impossible to be saved and not change your life for Jesus. It is impossible to be saved and haven't changed your life and set idle for Jesus. Okay? That means an internal process has to be taking place. There's a changing of heart, right? There's a rebirthing of your spirit. And not only that, there's a changing of your mind. Your mindset changes. And with your mindset changes, your philosophy changes. And when your philosophy changes, you put your hands to work and your feet to work for the glory of Christ. Yes. Obedience is actions, is work.
Obedience and love.
Yes. Obedience and love is action, is works. Salvation already been prepared for you through the blood of Jesus. But he said, I want you working. Works. Behavior is works. Trampling out the door, stomping your feet, guess what that is?
Door.
It's works. Watching a bad movie, guess what that is? Because your eyes and mind are at work. Hello? Cussing somebody out when you get mad? That's what? Yeah, because your mouth is in motion. Words are coming out. Fighting somebody, pushing them down. And go on. All right, we're finishing up. Holy Ghost is finishing up. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Shelley, what just happened? No more death.
Yeah.
Because if death and Hades now just been cast in the lake of fire, no more going to hell. Otherwise, the spirit of the dead. No more death, Thanatos. No more death can come to you. Because death is now in the lake of fire. Okay? No more going to that spear, that place of darkness where you can't come out. Done with. Gone. Lord Jesus put a stop to it forever. Because what's about to take place next? Woo! Awesome. So now he just dealt the blow to the spirit world. The spirit world has now been punished. They'll never bother humans again. They will never disobey God again. No more battles to take place in heaven again. No more battles in the heavenlies again. Never will they enter the earth to pollute the earth with their presence again. Oh yeah, somebody got it. Never. And then the final blow. The final blow. Jesus' final blow to the spirit world and to humanity is now about to take place. He just finished with the spirit world, did he not? Now for humanity. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a final blow to rebellious humans. I don't care if you was a billionaire or a piece of poor trash dead in a gutter, because that's what people call them, not me. You rebelled against Christ. This was his final blow to you. I don't care how intellectual astute you may be, you denied Jesus, the Son of God. He's now denying you entrance into his eternal kingdom, into his eternal presence. Done with. No more, Zora. Sin has now been dealt with. Period. Amen. Never to exist in the presence of God and among his people again. Never. We are now sin free. Period. Not even a bad thought will ever enter your mind again. Never. That's where we are. Nothing ever bad again. And now, because the earth has been polluted with sin, the next chapter, we're going to see what God is going to do about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. What a message from you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't know who's sitting here today who's been struggling with their walk with you, Lord Jesus, but you know, all of us. And this is a time in which we can tell you, Lord, forgive us for our sin, and we repent, and Lord, I repent of my sin, and I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and create in me, Lord God, a clean heart, and renew within me a right spirit, Lord Jesus. Keep me covered in your blood and fill me with your spirit. Cover these, your people, Lord, in your blood. Wash us clean, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit once again. Lord, touch them right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed and every heart praying. Talk to Jesus right now. Tell him that you love him. Love you, Lord. Because he loves you. And the day is coming, Lord Jesus, when we get to see you just as you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get to worship you face to face, you and Father. No more guessing what it's going to be like. And we will see for ourselves face to face. And Lord, until that time, will you strengthen us now to go out and share you with others? Will you have your way in our lives now? Touch everyone now. If anyone need prayer, you can come on up. This is all about Jesus. Jesus loves you and he wants to touch you. Nothing to be bashful over. Lord, touch your people. Bring in the lost, Lord, so we can give them your gospel. Bring in the sick, Lord, so we can heal them in your name. Bring in those who are demon-possessed so we can cast out demons in your name, Lord. Do what you have called us to do. Bring in the hunger, Lord Jesus, so we can feed them, and those who are naked so we can clothe them. And help us to go visit those who are sick and those who are in prison. Help us do those things, Lord Jesus, because without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And we're dependent on you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Dick, you got him? Woo! A little long today, but to God be the glory. Amen.